This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Mike Elam, Megan McBride, Stacey Washington, Think Tank here. So let's talk. We haven't talked a lot of actual politics. Let's do that. 2020. So the reason, like I would say, the reason we play Sweet 16 is you play the game and you get to the end, you're like, oh, maybe that is the best rock song of all time. And the reason you have this agonizing process of the campaign is the people who shouldn't be there fall out. And now it appears that it is Biden still, according to a Fox News poll, with double-digit lead over Bernie and then a surging Warren.
Elizabeth Warren.
First of all, I just have to say that Joe Biden's corn pop story is the single best story ever told in the history of the world. It was the most amazing 4 minutes of video I'd ever seen. And in spite of all of his corn pops and his gaffes and his stumbling and his teeth literally falling out during the debate, no one seems to be able to catch him. Thoughts?
No, because, look, again, we're... The ridiculousness that we are now conditioned to accept as normal over the last few years, it's very hard to look at Joe Biden for a voter who is truly unhappy with Trump and say, you're not a better alternative than what I'm frustrated with over here. I mean, that's just the reality that we're all facing. Our standards have shifted to a place that most of us don't even know what they are anymore, right? So things that are traditionally gaffes or would make you look bad, I think most people, it's like the headlines. It's like, oh, whatever. You know, that is the least of my concerns and the least of my worries now. I think particularly for Democratic primary voters, at the end of the day, they are more concerned with the substance and the ability to beat Trump. And that's what people are going to stay focused on. But I still think it is still very early. A lot of folks aren't really still watching all of these debates because it's exhausting to watch that many people up there. I think it's going to be after the holidays that we really get a sense of where people are going.
So as a Democratic strategist, at this point, still early, do you feel that Sanders, I'm sorry, I discount Sanders. I don't think he'll be the guy. I think Warren could be, though. Do you think Warren can win?
I think that it depends on how she performs early in the primaries and how she's there. Everyone's message shifts for the general, right? Whether it just does. And you say certain things in the Democratic primary process because you're talking about the issues that those voters are concerned about. And then you switch the message that you're talking to the broader base. So what she does in the early primaries and how she starts to transition that message, I think, determines her electability. Yeah, not necessarily right now. What
I know
about
pivots.
Her.
That's
what,
the thing that I'm wondering about a lot of these people. I mean, I get Biden and he's, you know, Uncle Joe, whatever. I do find it really funny that, you know, where we are in politics today is everything that we've heard that's wrong and you have to get away from is old white guys. And then who are the leaders of everything? Old white guys. I mean, you have Trump,
I don't
Sanders.
Have a problem with Joe, with Joe Biden,
that as an old white
stability.
Guy. That works for me.
It's stability. That's what Joe Biden, I think, really brings to the table. What so many people are really craving in the Democratic Party is someone who has a record, someone who knows how to work in government, someone who
has a 40-year
record
that's kind of evolving. I mean, so Joe Biden is, he's been for and against everything, and he's been in politics so long.
But that's what happens when you've been in office for so long. You do grow and you do change.
But there's growth and then there's flopping to, he's basically trying to be more progressive than he really is. And I would have a lot more respect for what he's putting forward as a candidate if he was who he really is. He's a moderate Democrat compared to the rest of the...
definitely running as a moderate Democrat.
I don't think so. He's coming out for positions that are definitely not his own.
He's not for abolishing private health insurance, which is what the progressives in this race are for. That's what Bernie and Elizabeth are for. I mean, he is the moderate, and I don't think he's running away from that at all. I think he's actually saying it's okay to be that person, and that's what we have to do to actually get some change. So, but again, I just think everyone who's saying they know anything right now, they're full of it. No one knows anything right now. I do think that it's going to be very hard to chip away at that lead that he has, because he has a base of Democratic voters who trust him, who don't care about the gaffes, who know that his record has evolved because he's evolved and you evolve over time, and they want the stability that he brings to the table.
What do you make, Stacey or Mike, of the Fox News poll that came out today showing that the top four people beat Trump handily and he doesn't get more than 40% against anybody?
Yeah, I
think
98%
a lot of that,
chance he's going to lose. He's going to have an Electoral College blowout. Hillary Clinton's going to win with all of the Electoral College votes except like 23. Remember those polls? I think there are some concerns with President Trump, and I see him moving to shore up those concerns with some of his most recent announcements coming out of the White House. But I just want to share a little bit. So you've got the reelection campaign manager, which is Brad Parscale over at, you know, Trump 2020. And they did the demographics on the President Trump rally in New Mexico. It was 45,000 people registered for tickets. 94% of those were from within New Mexico. 78% of them matched to the voter profile. 20% of them plus were voting in one or zero of the last four elections. And then 52% were male, 48% female. 40% were Latino. And 31% of the people who were there were Democrats. The RNC has raised a record amount of funds, which is normal for the party that's sitting in the White House, but they're even above that with $53.8 million in cash on hand. And I can tell you from my own personal perspective, I think that if it's Biden, which is what it looks like, he and Donald Trump on a stage together, if we thought we saw sparks flying when President Trump said you'd be in jail, it's going to be coming from both sides. Mm-hmm. That's probably going to be one of the best debates we've ever seen in our lives.
Yeah.
And you're right. People are going to, Megan, vote for, if you're a Democrat, you're going to vote for your candidate. But I think there are people out there who are in the middle, and those are the ones that President Trump is clawing for. Of course, Biden will want them too. And there's a certain illegitimacy for me, because I've gone back and watched the video, the YouTube. I've done some research on Biden. And for me, there are some positions he held in the past that were honorable that he could hold on to that he's letting go of now. And then there's some areas where he has to hew to the left because that's where the Democrats are. He has to actually be the standard bearer for the party. But that position is not one that's held by people in this particular part of the country. We're in the Midwest and we're not like cavemen, but we definitely have some values that if Joe Biden has to represent the current slate of Democrats under Nancy Pelosi's rule, he's going to be too far to the left to attract enough people from the middle. And personally, I don't want to see someone take over when the economy is doing well, when our foreign policy is kind of correcting, when things are going in a way that I would hope they would go, especially if we're comparing it to what it would be if it were Hillary Clinton. So,
well, assuming it's Biden, just for thought experiment,
yeah,
he almost has to pick a farther left VP because there's no one who's not.
Wait, who do you think it's going to be? Harris?
Well, I would think he's going to try to make a deal with Warren because he needs that side. And I think Warren actually is going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party. And I think that, well, here's why. And so you talk about, these are our top three, right? With Bernie, Elizabeth, Warren, and Biden. Mm-hmm. But the only reason that Warren or Sanders aren't beating Biden right now is they're splitting the vote. One of them is going to drop out. When one of them goes away, that is all going to coalesce under one of them. One of the things that Elizabeth Warren learned from Hillary Clinton is don't tick off Bernie Sanders voters. Hillary Clinton didn't learn that. If she would have reached out to Bernie's voters, she would be president today. But because she ticked them off, they said, forget you. I'm not coming out and I'm not voting for you. So they stayed away. I think a lot of those middle of the road Democrats are going to end up trying to figure out, can they swallow Elizabeth Warren and can they deal with that? Mm-hmm. But to win the nomination this year, I don't think Biden is going to have the staying power to get there. And I think when these people start falling out and you have so many far left candidates and they can't seem to get far enough to the left in many of these things. I mean, you talk about the three candidates. Remember, there's like 15 others that are still out there. You add up all those little fragmentations of percentages. You put them all behind Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. All of a sudden, they blow Joe Biden away. I mean, Biden continues to slip a little more and a little more. He's a pretty steady mid-20s, and that's kind of where he's at. I don't know if there's enough of the
cobbling it all together. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if there's enough hardcore Democrat Party that's going to come out and support moderate Joe because I don't, none of them seem sold on him.
But you're right. Have he's to think about, though, choice, like when you talk about a national poll in September of 2019 versus what happens when people actually start voting in primaries, right? So you have people voting in Iowa, okay? And if you get the momentum from Iowa and you get in New Hampshire and you get in South Carolina, Iowa and South Carolina, two places Joe Biden going to do pretty darn well. Mm-hmm. That momentum starts to roll. National polls start to change, right? So that's the other thing we're talking about, looking at what's going to happen. And then you talk about what actually happens when votes start being cast. And that's a whole different ball game than who got, you know, the gaffe on the CNN debate last week and who had their 5 minutes on MSNBC.
So and you're who's saying fighting when real people Trump. Start watching, because right now it's just us.
Well,
you know,
and when people yeah. are starting to actually cast their vote, not based on what's entertaining to them and not what they like to hear and what they're watching of
well,
when
what
I have to
Trump.
Make my decision. It's exactly
Trump
what happened
a joke
with Trump.
Until people
all
started
the
voting.
Debates, it was a mess. I mean, the same
well, when,
thing
when
happened.
When the big people fell out. Then all of a
well,
sudden,
think about when Barack Obama pulled away, right? No one actually really thought, like, they're like, oh, he's a great speaker. Look how eloquent this senator from Illinois is, right?
No, you're right. And all then, my Democrat friends were behind Hillary at that point.
Right. And yeah. people start voting because what we're seeing on the national stage versus what these candidates are actually doing in Iowa right now are two very different things. Mm-hmm. And that work is what gets you results, not
so you're
what
saying
the noise
it's not,
is.
It can't be Warren. You just don't see
I
that.
I'm not saying it can't be. I'm saying what they're all doing on the ground, talking to voters in Iowa right now, I think is much more important than what we're all seeing on a CNN debate
stage.
So
let me
right
get
now.
Back to one thing, because you asked the question, what do you think about all these polls where it shows Trump losing to everybody? So we were just talking earlier, before we get started, about there's a poll in the UK that says the UK people actually believe that Hillary Clinton is going to come in and be the nominee over anyone who's currently in the race right now, which I think there are a lot of Democrats who would actually still go that direction because they're not sold on anybody at this point, and nobody's excited. Like, no one has this, boy, I can't wait for this person to roll in there and just kill him.
Yeah, but I think that happens once they get their nominee. So there were a lot of people who were excited individually about Ted Cruz and some of the others before it was President Trump.
Right.
But then when it was him and he was the candidate, it was like one day everyone's kind of looking around and going, he won this? He's the nominee? And then the next second, it's like, he won this and he's our guy. He's our guy. People were buying Trump T-shirts, Trump tennis shoes, and then all of a sudden,
and then it's okay, game on. Yeah,
yeah,
and
it
then
was it like goes. Game on. So yeah. I see that happening for the Democrats for
but
sure.
But one of the issues that Trump had with the Republican nomination, at least going through the primaries, Trump wasn't conservative enough. That was the problem with Trump for a lot of Republicans. Because I know a lot of St. Charles County. I mean, come on,
we are
the center
of
conservative,
in a 3-year
right?
span.
So, but the big knock on Trump was he was too liberal. He's not a real Republican. He's a rhino. We need a hardcore Republican like Ted Cruz. On the Democrat side, they're racing to the other end of that. They're trying to see who can out-liberal the other person to do this, and they're painting themselves into this corner that I don't know how they get out of. I understand what you're saying about, and I appreciate where you're coming from, that Joe Biden is trying to protect these issues. But when Biden does interviews with people, Joe doesn't know what he's for from time to time, depending on what interview that he's doing. He does jump off to the left side, depending on what crowd that he's talking to. And
the
there was an article
thing was
about
very
earlier.
Dangerous for him.
There was an article earlier this week talking about the fact how, depending on what crowd Biden is talking to, he will take different positions on the issues, which used to be fine when he was a senator and he was just campaigning out in his area. But in today's world, everything's recorded. Everything is video. Just ask Justin Trudeau. There's pictures and audio of everything. Mitt Romney's 47%. It's going to come back to him at that point. You can't straddle the fence that long. And I'm wondering if the left, and I don't get the left, I'm just straight up, I don't understand that whole mindset there. But that hardcore left person is going to be able to come out and vote for a Joe Biden, or if they're going to pull another Bernie Sanders and say, you know what, you're just not my guy, I'm staying home, I still feel disconnected.
Need to end it there. Stace, where do people find you?
StaceyOnTheRight.com.
And Megan?
Meg Shack on Twitter.
Nice, I like that. Mike, you want people finding you?
Hey, you can go to MikeElam.com. I've got that. That works for me.
Oh, very good. Nice.
Or you can come out to St. Charles and visit God's Country whenever you'd like.
Thank
we
you
love
guys.
It out there.
Appreciate it. Welcome back, guys. DGS. Get your tickets to Wine, Whiskey, and Dine at Tompkins by the Rack House. It's next Thursday. And go to 971talk.com/events. You can buy general admission. You can buy VIP, which just gives you an extra hour of drinking and eating and hobnobbing with me and Mark Cox. And yeah, I mean, the last one we did was great.
I love to hobnob.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Nobbing, you always talk about that.
I was like, I was hobbing so hard last night.
Man, I remember, so I got scholarships to go to WashU, and they were named scholarships. It, like, if I set up a scholarship, which I never will, but if I did,
never,
no, then okay, someone would get the Dave Glover scholarship, and I got the Ned Limpkemeyer scholarship. He's this god of law, Brian Cave, the biggest law firm in the world, and you go to dinner with him. And you talk about Woody Boyd off the farm. We went to where Capitol Grill is now.
Wow.
But I don't remember what it was back then.
That's kind of crazy.
It was something really, really fancy. And yeah, I'm going there tonight with my bosses. But I had turtle soup, and I was wearing a clip-on tie. And they came, they took our drink orders, and I'd never had a mixed drink, and someone ordered a Tanqueray and tonic, and so I said, I'll have one as well. Like, I was just so, oh my God. Was
you were what, 20? Something like that?
20,
18, 19. Oh, that, oh, you were going to law school.
Yeah.
That's right.
But yeah, just looking back, man, oh man.
How was the turtle soup?
Great. It was really good.
Oh my gosh.
I was afraid I was going to spit it out.
Oh, turtle soup, if you get a good one, it's the best soup I've ever had in my life.
And I remember Ned really, really liked me. I think for the same reason that WashU liked me. When I, because I've told the story before, I had a very bad GPA, but I crushed the LSAT, and I went in for my interview, and they just loved this kind of Goodwill Hunting motif that they put out there. And then Ned was just obsessed with like South Roxana and, you know, monkey masks and all that kind of, so it's just weird. I don't know what made me think of that, but
you're still telling those stories to people.
Oh, no, God, no.
Oh.
No, although I was nervous enough, I could have gone into that. I just was just freaked, absolutely freaked out.
I bet. Was there a lot on the line? Was it like a full ride?
I got a half scholarship.
Wow, that's pretty good.
That I had to keep a certain grade point or a certain class rank to keep. Yeah, so anybody got stuff? Anyone want something? Oh, you wanted to talk about the Trump cheerleader thing.
Yeah, kind of. It was.
He used to be a cheerleader. That'd be awesome. Wasn't George W. a cheerleader in college?
Boy, it sounds right.
Man, sounds right, right?
This is unrelated, but in third grade, we had an event like that where all the school, it wasn't just our school, it was like every school in District 10 was there, all the grade schools, so all these kids you didn't know. And the PE teacher, like, who's in charge of the whole district, I guess, gets up on this stage and she says, there are three people in this district that I want to acknowledge as being tremendously physically talented. And it was like, oh boy, who's this going to be? Because it definitely wasn't me. And I'm looking around like, wow, there's probably some athletes in these people I don't know. And she announced Ryan Wiggins. And I was like, what? And I went up there like, yes, that's right, all you people I don't know.
Right.
Look at me. I have a medal now. And then I realized when I was an adult, but it was just because I had CF.
like you were hanging in there.
Like, yeah,
you were able
like,
to hang.
Hey, look at this guy. Yeah. They didn't say it, of course, because that would have been mean.
That's yeah. Awesome.
But it was like, wow, I'm pretty great, aren't I? And it was like, oh, you just picked me for charity.
Better at these games than I thought I was.
Yep.
That's cool that you didn't realize it until you were an adult, though. That means it was effective. They did what they wanted to do, which was make you feel very special.
It's true. And I did outright win the handwriting competition.
Well, there you go.
That had nothing to do with CF.
That's physical.
What a weird story.
I looked it up and George W. was a cheerleader. I was right about that.
You know what I would have done if I were you, Ryan? Like for the, I would have just played it. Like, I would have been like this. Like, here's my handwriting. But then I'd have been like, me have CF. And they're like, damn, we got to give it to him. What do we, he wrote an essay that we can barely read about having CF.
It's hard to clutch my pen when I'm struggling to breathe like this.
Not only is he writing below grade level, he can't speak very well. Stuff that's not related to CF at all. Man, we feel bad about this kid.
He's really
appears
playing
to be
it.
In his brain.
He's full of medals now.
Man, I remember a kid in grade school that did that. It wasn't CF and it wasn't a physical thing, but in kindergarten or first grade, I entered a young writers competition, and it was just
a really young writers competition.
Yeah, I mean, I did an ABC book.
Okay.
And it was like A is for whatever, but I did really weird ones. It wasn't A is for apple. It was for weird things that I picked. That I thought,
that's
this is
on
funny.
Brand. On
yeah.
brand.
Yeah.
And I won. I won the competition when I was in first grade or whatever. So I'm like,
were you the only one that entered?
I have no idea. Maybe. I probably won it because of CF again. But I thought,
C is for CF.
This is going to be great.
Did I mention I had that?
I can kill these kids at writing. I'm going to win this every year. So in second grade, I entered it again and I wrote some story about an alien. Of course, this is all on brand for me. An alien that goes to Mars and like digs a hole and then just like lives in the hole in Mars. And it was terrible drawing. You can imagine what it looked like. And I'm like, this is pretty much the best story that's ever been written.
Got and, this in the bag.
And gave that to the submissions. And I was like, one last year. I'm going to win this year. And then it came back that Joe from my class won that year, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know Joe. Joe's stupid. There's no way he won that this young writers competition. And then I found out, oh, he wrote a book about being adopted.
Pandering.
That's why you won, Joe, not because you put the words together well.
They Damn. Feel bad for you.
A is for another coughing attack. B is for because I don't breathe well.
Or C breathing, which I wish I could do.
Constant worry.
D is for death.
Oh, he said it.
Hey, I can get away with it. Dude, there was... we joke about it, but there was a time when I was right out of college. I was about 25 that I was like, I'm going to die. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Before the trials and the medicines.
Before all the trials happened. Have we talked about this a little bit? We probably have.
You said you were starting to fade.
I was getting bad. I was still in a comedy troupe out of Chicago.
That is bad.
And we were doing some just amazing work, I'm telling you. And I realized, like, this might be one of the last things I ever do. And so I want to make it really good. And every time I still watch that, I think, man, what a weird moment in time. Because I remember having terrible, terrible, like, fever sweats.
Were your doctors telling you
basically that? They weren't saying, you're going to die. But my numbers were low. My, you know, I go in every 3 months or whatever.
You at
get
least
checked.
Thought it was not going to get better.
I thought, this is getting bad. Like, I was sweating profusely throughout the night. Wow. You know,
so
it was bad.
When did you meet your wife and when did you guys get married? Was it around that
married,
time?
So I met her when I was 19, but we dated for a little while and then we broke up. We had a very contentious early relationship. Ooh. And then we both became Christians and we got back together. And, we just were like, yeah, this is meant from the get-go. I was like, this is meant to be. I don't know how, but she's the one.
Now you just have Bible fights.
Right. Yeah, it's fun at night.
It's Ephesians.
I would point you to Philippians.
No. We
says...
put them in our pillows and then we hit each other. It's just like a slumber party. We got married in 2007 and it was like a year afterwards that I was like, this might be it. I'm thankful that I got married. Mm-hmm. That's nice. But I guess I'll never have kids and stuff. But it was like, there was no sympathy in it. I didn't want sympathy at all. I just was like, this is the hand I'm dealt.
Yeah.
And
I bet it was just a longer, drawn-out version of when I thought I was crashing in the plane, and I've never been more calm. Like, oh, this is, you really do die, and I'm going to die at 26 and never get married or have kids, and okay, here we go. And it had to be just a day-to-day kind of feeling like, I'm not here in 5 years, so.
Yeah, and that's not a bad comparison. The hard part was that there were so many things that I would lose, like, over the span of a couple months. Mm. Like, I can't do that now. I just can't do it. And one of the biggest ones I remember, because I had just started in radio at Christian radio station, was laughing. I just couldn't laugh without going into a terrible coughing fit, which you guys see. I still do to an extent. But, I mean, I couldn't laugh without, like, falling over, dying, hurting.
Gosh.
And
that would have been so great for the show.
It was, it was step by step. Like, it just got worse and worse, and you lose those little things along the way, and that's what's depressing. Mm-hmm. It's not the idea that, oh, I might die. Mm-hmm. That's almost like, well, I'm going to die anyway.
Yeah.
So, whenever that happens.
So, is everyone with CF now on your drug?
No. Only 5% of the population of CF is on what
I'm
on.
That's why it's so amazing that he found this.
It's a miracle.
Now, is that just because it's still in testing, or because it only works on 5%?
It only works on my genome type.
Oh, my gosh.
Within CF. I mean, it's a very narrow band of people. Now, they are trying to expand it. I got an email from a guy a couple weeks ago who said, I heard you guys talking about CF, you know, quite a bit, and of course, because you always bring it up.
he
emailed me and said, hey, can we have a conversation? And I tried to connect with him. We ended up just emailing, and his son has CF, and he wanted to know how close, outside of what the doctors were saying, like, how close is this? What has it really done for you? I said, dude, they're really close to getting it for your son's genotype.
Yeah.
Because there's like 75% of the CF population has this certain, whatever it's called, genome. And I have a really rare one. And so mine just happens to be the one that they developed the drug for.
Did they do that on purpose?
It's sort of like the low-hanging fruit. Okay. So mine just happened to be the easiest one that they could do the trial for, gotcha. And it worked. And so now they're trying to go deeper into the ones that are harder to control.
Yeah.
So
CF is a genetic disorder.
Yep. Genetic disease that you're born with. Okay. You can't, it's not contagious, which I always have to tell people when I'm coughing on them.
Can they tell immediately on day one?
No. They can now probably. It just depends on whether, I don't know how they test for it now, but when I was born, it was sweat. It was, they thought I had bronchitis.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the snow of 82 actually half trapped me in the hospital, was good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I had been coughing a lot, and they're like, babies don't do that, something's wrong. And so they tested me. They said I had bronchitis for a long time, but it wasn't going away. And then and I wasn't gaining weight. And that's another thing. That's why you guys see me take the pills when I eat, because it doesn't digest unless you take them. So I was thin, and they were like, something's wrong. So they finally did the sweat test on me. And this is how complicated it was back then. It's way different now, that they just make you sweat. They just get you hot, stick their finger on your temple or whatever, where the sweat is, and just lick it. And they're like, wow, that's really salty. I bet he's got CF.
Wow.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, I'm sure there was probably a little more complicated than that, but that's the gist of it. Like, they just test your sweat.
Life's so weird. Rach wasn't born in 82. The snowstorm of 82, my girlfriend lived about 10 miles away, and I was going to walk to see her. And it was literally like 4 feet of snow. Mm-hmm. So while you were in the hospital, literally just born, I was walking. My dad's like, go ahead, knock yourself out.
Yeah, have fun.
And I made it like a quarter mile, and I'm like, F this. And I turned around and I came back. But it's so weird to me. Like, you existed in the world, tiny little baby, and I was stupid and lovesick walking in a snowstorm at the exact same time.
And not too far apart. Because I was in Granite City and you were in South Roxana.
Wow, that is really strange.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.